Hey friend, oh my goodness. Like I cannot tell you how excited I am about this recording, this interview with Dana Shea. Man, if you are in a season of recovering from a miscarriage or just wanting to get pregnant and have a healthy pregnancy, and sex has been hard for you and your husband, and there's maybe been a bit of a strain there. Maybe you have just kind of lost the fire and it's just become like a chore to do or just a thing that you kind of have to do. And there's been strain essentially, right? So if that's you and if you are just looking for some encouragement and some really practical biblical ways to have an awesome sex life and just an awesome overall intimacy with your spouse, you are going to just love today's episode. Oh my goodness. I am like so excited. I know my husband listens to these episodes and I can't wait for him to listen to this. It's going to be so awesome. So before we get into that, I just want to thank each and every one of you who have left a review. Oh my goodness. We just had one. Thank you so much for sharing. She had shared that she had is recovering from a miscarriage and this podcast has been a really big encouragement to her. So thank you so much for leaving that review. And if you have not left a review, I'm just asking, please do it. It would just mean so much to me. And it would, not only does it mean a lot to me, like poofoo, whatever, like that's cool. It definitely is encouraging. But what it really does when you leave a review is it gets this podcast seen to more people who are in broken places like you and who are needing this encouragement and needing this insight and knowledge. So thank you for leaving a review. Just scroll on down and click write a review. And I really appreciate you. I do talk a couple times about the fertility framework in today's episode. And if you are curious about it and just kind of want to see what is it and what do I get out of it, what will I learn, I am including in the show notes today a video that you can watch to get an insider look of the course. So you can literally watch the video and I'm clicking around in here and showing you the modules and the steps and what it looks like and the homework and all of it. So if you're kind of curious about it and you want to check it out, you can just click on that video below. So let's get into today's episode. You guys are going to love it. Hey, sister. Welcome to For the Love of Hormones podcast. Do you have a desire to get pregnant in God's design and be free from the pressure of going straight to IUI or IVF? Hey, I'm Becca. While I was blessed with two children, I then suffered from three miscarriages. I too felt emotionally wrecked anytime I was around a pregnant friend. I wanted to understand God's design for my body and how to care for it naturally, but I just kept telling myself that it was too complicated and I needed to be content with my circumstances. Until I found the answer, hormone health and tracking. In this podcast, you will find answers to all of your period, ovulation, and cycle questions so that you will be able to find the path for getting pregnant in God's design. So sister, for the love of hormones, put that pregnancy test stick down and grab your Bible, matcha green tea, and a journal because it's time for a Come to Jesus and Hormones meeting. All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, and welcome to Dana Shea for being here. Man, what a treat we have today to talk about intimacy from an expert like Dana Shea. So before we kick off, I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer and introduce our lovely guest, and we'll get to hear from her. Lord Jesus, we just come before you, and I thank you so much for allowing us to get to meet together and how you so divinely orchestrate conversations and connections, even in this podcast world. And so I just pray for your anointing on this episode, that it would bring a lot of encouragement and a lot of insight to this woman listening and to her husband, and how they can still enjoy their intimacy and even grow in that, especially in a season of desiring a baby, and still be able to have a fruitful sex life. And I just pray for your blessing on this conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So Dana Shea is a speaker, marriage coach, and the host of, did you recently change it? The Real Relationship Talk? Is that your new name?
I did. be real relationship talk. And now it's Rebuilding Us. So the Rebuilding Us marriage podcast.
Rebuilding Us. Okay. So she's the host of Rebuilding Us podcast. And she helps people uncomplicate relationships and build deeper connections. She is also a devoted daughter and friend of God and serves as a teaching pastor at a multi-site, multi-ethnic church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. In groups large or small, Dana's mission is singular: to help people into more fruitful and connected relationships with the Lord and each other. On her podcast, she is known for her graceful candor, humor, and encouraging yet challenging advice. Dana holds a bachelor's in communication from Regent University. She has a fierce passion for fashion. I can see that. Got it. Adorable shirt on. And she has a fiercer passion for truth. She shares her life with Sean, her childhood sweetheart and husband of 24 years, their four amazing children, and their multicultural dog in beautiful Virginia Beach, Virginia. You can connect with her on Instagram at Mrs. Dana Shea or her website at danashea.com. So, Dana Shea, you're so cool. I'm so excited to have you on here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Becca. This is going to be so fun. I love your podcast. I love the whole premise behind it. I don't know that I have seen a podcast like yours. So it's definitely speaking to a need for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a very unique little pocket that the Lord's called me to. So thank you so much. And I'm just so looking forward to getting to know you a little bit more and then hearing from you on this topic. I think you've done a podcast episode, and so I'd love you to speak into it. But first, let's just get to know you a little bit more. So tell us a little bit about your story. You've been married for 24 years. And from what I know from your podcast, your marriage was not always beautiful and amazing. And you guys went through some hard things, and now you've come out on the other side, and now you're encouraging people. But just tell us a little bit about your story so we can kind of get to know you more.
Yeah, so I've known my husband since we were little kids. We went to the same church as kids. And fun fact, he actually liked my sister. So I was his second choice. But no, we laugh about that. We laugh about that. So, you know, they were kids. And I just looked at him as like, that's my sister's friend. I didn't care about him at all. Until we got to high school. And then I was like, oh, okay. And so we started dating in high school, and I went off to college first year. I'm 17. I'm on a full scholarship. Find out I'm pregnant first semester in college. And so we went to a church that was very much like, you're going to get married or you're going to break up and never talk to each other again. And so, of course, I'm pregnant. I'm like, I'm not going to not talk to the father of my child. You know, we had talked about getting married in the sweet by and by, maybe when I was 28 or 29. So we knew that we were approaching that direction. But for sure, at 17, I didn't know anything about being married. Well, fast forward, we get married 6 months later. And so I am now 18 years old, brand new baby, brand new husband. And we knew nothing about anything. And I
wow. Yeah.
So we started our marriage just really off on the wrong foot. We started our marriage off really in distress because getting pregnant at 17 was certainly not in either one of our 5-year plan. We also had like no money, of course. We're like super young. And there was just a lot of stress on our marriage from the very beginning. And so because of that and our own immaturity and just not really having good models as parents, we quickly found ourselves in the throes of infidelity in our marriage. And that was something that shattered both of us, I think, because for me, we'd known each other for, I felt like I knew everything there was to know about this person. And that was not something that I thought my husband would do. It's certainly not something that I thought that I would do. And so we were both unfaithful to one another, which is interesting because I wasn't this innocent party in the whole story. We definitely dealt with our situations differently. My situation was kind of a one-time thing, and it was with a so-called friend. I was devastated when it crossed the line, and I never talked to that person again. I literally have not talked to that person in 24 years. This was very early in our marriage. My husband struggled. My husband had some, I think, ungodly beliefs and just some strongholds and things that I did not know existed in him that made his journey to recovery a lot longer than mine was. So we spent many years going through these cycles of infidelity. And that's why I'm so passionate to help couples today, because I know what that's like. I know what it's like to want to fight for your marriage, but not like your spouse. I know what it's like to not want to be intimate with your spouse. I know what it's like to know all the scriptures and all the right things, but it's not translating in real life. And so that we spent very many years just very disconnected and just in a very, very difficult place. And so when the Lord began this recovery in me, really, which is why I've named the podcast Rebuilding Us, the first letter of us is you. So God is going to first rebuild you before he rebuilds us. And that's exactly what he did in our lives. And so thank God we have a story today of restoration. I have the best marriage that we've ever had. I mean, I didn't think our marriage would ever be good, to be honest with you, Becca. I thought, it'll be okay. Like we'll stop like the cheating part and we'll just kind of be okay. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think that we could have what we have today.
Wow. I just want to cry. Like that's so beautiful. Tell us a little, I just love to hear a little bit more. Maybe we'll have to go over the 30 minutes. I don't know. can you tell us like, where was God in all of this? And how did he end up bringing that healing and restoration?
Yeah. So, you know, I was a Christian, like not just a church goer, but like I was a born again believer. And so I always thank God for my church. Oh my goodness. Thank God for my church because they taught us about the nearness and the presence of God. So I knew that God was there, even though I didn't feel him all the time. Like I just knew that he was there and I knew that my prayers were not just in vain, but it was really difficult when I didn't see, like, I know what the Bible says, we don't walk by sight, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. But as human beings, we need to see something, you know? And I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything changing in my husband. It seemed like the more I prayed, the worse it got. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so grateful that I had a church community. I had people, I had friends that I could lean into that were supportive of me, who they prayed for me when I was like, I'm done praying. I don't feel like praying anymore because my prayers aren't working. That they kind of held my arms up like, you know, Aaron and Hur did for Moses when his arms got tired. So I knew that God was always there, but I wouldn't say that I always felt his presence, nor did I see his activity. And so when I decided I need to work on myself, I need to go to counseling, I need to figure out, you know, what is broken in me that my husband's behavior is triggering. Because my husband didn't break me. You know, his behavior for sure didn't help. But to be honest, I came into this marriage broken. And so when I started counseling and really started allowing the Lord to heal me in community, because it wasn't just a one-on-one, it was this group of women that I became connected with, who their husbands were also either involved in porn or some sort of sexual addiction. So there was a camaraderie there, solidarity there with these other women, and they were all believers. And those women really, I mean, God used them in a very powerful, transformative way in my life. And so I began to be healed and I began to become whole. And all the while, not knowing, God is also working on my husband. I'm not seeing anything though. It doesn't look like it, but God is working on my husband. And so then my husband decides to go through his own journey of going to counseling and having some things, those strongholds and things like that revealed to him. And so his process seemed like it just took like moments. It seemed like literally one day I hated my husband and the next day I was like, oh wow, I love you. You're great. You know, like it's not quite how it happened, but it seems like his journey to restoration was a lot faster than mine. And it was because God was always working. Even though I didn't see him working, he was working underneath the surface. So all he was waiting for was my husband's surrender, was for my husband's yes. And when my husband surrendered, God was like, great. All right, let's do this.
Wow.
And so yeah. So I just, you know, whenever I hear people say like, you know, I'm praying and it doesn't seem like anything is working, I'm like, you have no idea what God is doing underneath the surface. Like, that's why we don't lose heart. That's why we don't give up, because he is working even when we don't see it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to be like tearing up. I've got a personal friend going through a lot of this kind of stuff. And so I'm really excited for her to listen to this and just be encouraged. So let's kind of dive in. So you guys kind of become this mentoring type team, and now you're supporting people in their journeys. So something that, you know, I've shared with you that, you know, our listeners kind of deal with is like the pressure for having sex and having intimacy and needing to do that when like timing it with their cycle and, And honestly, a lot of people who haven't worked with me yet don't even know. They don't even know that yet. Like they've been given instructions to have sex every single day or have sex every other day for like your entire cycle. And it's just like sex becomes a must do and a chore. And that can really just wear on people and wear on the relationship. And so I thought one of your episodes I would love for you to just encourage our listeners with. It was Sextimacy, From Awkward to Authentic Conversations About Sex. So what, I'll just let you kick off. I have like lots of questions I want to ask you, but like, can you just kick us off with some encouragement for talking about intimacy with our spouse and for just kind of reviving things a little bit and taking the pressure off?
Yeah, so good, Becca. I think, you know, one of the things that you said, and you just said it a second ago, was there's all this pressure. And when there's pressure that exists in your intimacy, you're not going to want to engage because it feels like another job. And all of us women work, whether you work outside the home or whether you work inside the home, we're always working. We always have someone who's depending on us to do something. And so at the end of the day, if that's when, you know, most people have sex at night, right? At the end of the day, most of us don't want to go into it thinking, here's just another thing, another responsibility, another person that I have to meet their needs. And so when we go into it with that mindset of it being so much pressure and it being this responsibility, that's going to affect how you engage. So another thing that I want to say is concerning intimacy, like the sexual act is not intimacy. Intimacy is way broader than that. Like there's sexual intimacy, that's a part of it. But what I encourage people to do is focus on your other areas of intimacy. If you're having a problem right now engaging with your husband sexually for whatever reason, what other forms of intimacy are you doing well in? So for example, maybe it's intellectual intimacy, which is one that some people don't think about a lot. Like, oh, maybe you and your husband love to watch the news and talk about what's going on in the world. Or maybe you both love reading books or listening to podcasts together or researching something together you're both interested in and you connect in that way. Well, that's great. That's intimacy. So focus there and continue to build there. Or maybe for you, it's spiritual intimacy. Maybe you both love reading the word or you have a pattern of praying together, a rhythm of praying together, or going to church together, talking about the sermons. If that's a strong area in you, wherever you are strong in your different forms of intimacy, focus there because they all feed into each other. So sometimes couples think we got to get the sex thing right. We've got to, you know, work on the sex. And yes, you do, but it's very difficult to just kind of go for the jugular there, you know, if you're not also focusing on these other supporting areas of intimacy.
Wow. That's really powerful. I'm so glad you touched on that. I did, I don't talk about intimacy with spouses too much. I do touch on it here and there. I did an episode over Valentine's Day because that was fitting. And I thought a lot about Revelation 2, 1 through 5 and about how the church had, they'd worked hard, they persevered, they'd done all the good deeds, they'd rejected, you know, the false apostles, but they forgot the love they had at first. And so it was just an encouragement to repent of that and to do the things that you did earlier on. And so okay. So it sounds like I see buckets here, buckets of intimacy. So you addressed, you addressed intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, obviously there's sexual intimacy. Are there any other buckets that come to mind?
Yeah. So there's emotional intimacy, which is what most women are after, right? Like, I want you to hear my heart and talk about my feelings, and I want to hear your feelings, and I want to hear your heart. And most women crave that emotional intimacy, which is interesting because most men do not pursue that one. Like, that's kind of on the bottom of most men's priority list. But most women, again, this is generalizations, most women cannot engage sexually with their husbands unless there's a good, healthy emotional intimacy going on. So if your husband is detached from you, if he goes to work and you go to work, or maybe you stay at home and he goes to work and you're just kind of in this process of just paying bills and talking about household responsibilities and talking about jobs, and then he wants to engage sexually, that's a hard ask for a lot of women. So emotional intimacy is so important. And I spend a lot of time actually working with men mostly on how to shore this area up because it does come more naturally for women. Hmm. So emotional intimacy is another bucket. Recreational intimacy is, again, one of those ones that we don't necessarily think about, where a lot of men want their wives to be their friend, which is so counterintuitive of what the world teaches us. Like the world says, oh, the husbands just want to go off and be with their friends and hang out and go to the bars and go to the golf court, you know, golf course and all that. But most husbands, they want their wives to come with them golfing, or they want their wives to go on some crazy adventurous trip. And the women are like, I'm not doing that. Like, I have zero desire. I don't want to go off-roading and like dirt biking. But most men want to be friends with their wife. And this is interesting because I do a lot of work helping couples recover from affairs, right? And the interesting thing about a lot of men that end up having affairs is that woman was his friend. She was someone who he connected with on that level. And so this is why, again, we've got to be very mindful of how are we engaging with our spouses in these other areas of intimacy. Maybe the sexual intimacy one, again, isn't where we want it to be, but you can be his friend. You can listen to a dumb story that he tells you about his work. You know what I mean? We can all do that. And then again, they feed into each other. So when your husband realizes, wow, like she actually cares about my day, or she laughs at my stupid stories, or she's willing to go fishing with me and sit there for hours and hours, you know, then guess what? He's going to give you some emotional intimacy because he feels connected to you. So it's not a bait and switch, and it certainly isn't manipulation. It's about, I think about like the scripture that talks about every joint supplying. I mean, this is completely out of context, but just bear with me for a second here. You know, it's talking about the body of Christ and how every joint supplies. But I look at it as, you know, these levels of intimacy all are contingent upon another. And so every joint supplies the other joint. So when you've got a good, now they don't all have to be like at a 10, but let's say your emotional intimacy is at a 7, intellectual intimacy is like a 4, recreational is like an 8. Well, then sexual intimacy is not going to be that hard to pursue because you've got these other buckets to put in, you know, to put it the way that you did. You've got these other buckets that are doing well.
Wow, that was so cool. Oh my goodness, I'm learning so much. And I know whoever's listening to this is going to be learning so much. And I was thinking too, I was trying to look it up. I'm not good at multitasking because I like want to listen to everything you're saying. But there's a reference. I can't remember if it, you may know, it's in either in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, where it talks about the older woman should encourage the younger woman to love their husbands and children. And that word love is philos, which is the friendly love. And so, you know, there's like the different Greek words for love. And so I thought that was like so interesting because it's like, hey, have fun with your husband and have fun with your kids and, you know, stop the chores, stop the work, stop whatever we're doing and engage and have fun with them. So, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. If you think about it, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't give them Cain and Abel on day one or even at month 9. You know, so we read that scripture, you quoted it earlier, you know, that we would be fruitful and multiply. Like those are two different words. God wasn't being redundant. A lot of times we think fruitfulness is about reproduction, but not necessarily. There's lots of couples who, for whatever reason, can't reproduce or haven't reproduced yet, like their offspring children, but they can still be fruitful. And this ways that you can produce fruit in your marriage is by learning to be your spouse's friend again, by learning to say, how can we connect? How can we bridge this whole idea, this vision that God had for marriage was that you would be one, right? When Adam said, you are flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, that means you are one with me. That was God's vision for marriage. And that can happen regardless of whether you are at the multiplication stage. I can imagine Adam and Eve trotting around that Garden of Eden, totally nude, right? Like, you know, jumping in the pond, swinging from trees. Like they were having a good old time. They were just friends. They were enjoying their little lives before sin came into the world, you know? I think that we do need to go back to that place in our marriages before the pressure, before the responsibility, before the pain of infertility, before any of that stuff. Like, are we able to go back to, as you just said, you know, Revelation 2, returning to your first love? Can we get back to that place where our marriages are bearing fruit again?
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's so interesting because I imagined this episode we were going to talk about, like, okay, so here's how to talk to your husband about sex. But it really makes so much sense when you just like, okay, let's put that aside. Let's look at all of the buckets in our marriage and particularly what bucket is most important for me, the wife, with like my spiritual gifts, my personality, what bucket is most important to him. And not saying all men are the same, but like, I know like what you said related to my husband, like I know he loves having fun and like doing fun things with me and talking about random things that I'm like, okay, we could talk about this if you want, but like, can we talk about something serious? it makes a lot of sense. Cause when we think about when we were back in dating and engaged with our spouses, those are the things we did because, you know, for a time sex was off the table. And so we were doing the recreational things. We were doing the emotional things. We were doing the intellectual things and we were building up to marriage. And so it's like, man, are we still doing those things? And especially I'm thinking for my ladies here in your season of infertility, like, or just wanting that baby, that's a hard, hard emotional season. So I see it as all the more important to make sure we're filling up those other buckets. That way sex can be spontaneous and it can be beautiful, but it might not get to that point if we're not filling up other buckets in our marriage.
Oh, that's perfectly said. That's perfectly said. And, you know, I have friends who have tried to have babies for years, and you probably heard of these stories as well, right? And it's like when they took the pressure off of conceiving, they got pregnant, or they adopted a child and they got pregnant, right? And that doesn't happen to everybody. But I think that there's something interesting there. If I was a researcher and could really like dig into the statistics, I wonder how often that happens when you take the pressure off of the outcome. And this is just good spiritual advice, right? Like in our relationship with the Lord, if we're always looking at the outcome, like Moses took the people of God out of Egypt and they were going into the promised land. But what they didn't realize is that God was the promised land. It wasn't about the land. It was about the journey with the Lord. And so I think that we can also make idols, you know, out of the things that we want. We can make, I want a baby so bad, like I want a family. That can become, it's a great desire. It's not an ungodly desire, but we have to be careful that we don't allow that thing to become an idol. And that's the thing that we begin to pursue to the detriment of this human being that God gave us to love. This human being, our husbands, that God gave us to serve and to get to know better and to make their lives more fulfilling, as hopefully they're also making our lives more fulfilling. I think when we get into that place where that becomes our focus, then the sexual intimacy becomes easier. Those conversations can still be a little awkward and we could talk about how to make them less awkward, but I think the sexual intimacy becomes a little easier. And then God says, like he said to Abraham, like, Abraham, are you willing to give me the one thing that you desire the most? And Abraham was willing. And I just wonder if God is also asking us that same question. Are you willing to give me the one thing that you desire the most? What if I never give it to you? Will you still love me?
Wow. Man, Danishay, I'm so glad you're on this episode right now. That was so, so good. What an important message to hear. Because, you know, to be frank, I do have a lot of clients who, this is like such a big thing. They've tried all the things. And it is really important to figure out what's going on. I just recorded another episode about like, this is important to take care of your temple. Like your temple is the body that the Lord has given you. He resides in you. You need to upkeep. Like you need to do the things that you can do to keep yourself healthy and to be able to receive a baby. But that cannot be the main focus and the main priority of your life. Our ultimate priority and our ultimate calling is to be servants of the King. Servants of the King, whether we're a mother or we're not, whether we have children or we don't, we are servants of the King. And so it's just something the Lord's been sitting on my heart recently. And so it's so cool to have you on like right now of just these amazing, incredible women who are desiring babies to know like this is a desire of your heart. Tend your temple, keep up with it, but how are you serving the Lord right now? How are you proclaiming his name to the nations, to your friends, to your community, and serving his kingdom right now before he gives you a baby? And how will you continue to do that when he does give you a child, you know? So, I love how you, all those things you said about the idolatry and checking ourselves with that, when it comes to our relationship. Okay. This is so much fun. This is so much fun. Okay. So can you leave us with, a couple tips about, let's say we are filling up our buckets. We're filling up the emotional bucket, the intellectual bucket, the recreational bucket. Like, we're filling up all those buckets and now we're feeling a little warmer. Like, okay, like I think we could talk about it now. Like, I think we can, you know, dig into this a little bit more. What are some tips you have to talk about sex and to talk about intimacy once we've warmed up to that with our spouses?
Yeah, I think one, we just have to be honest about where we're at. A lot of us, especially if you were raised in, like, let's just say a traditional Christian home where you were taught, you know, save sex for marriage, which is a great message. Like, hopefully that's what we're teaching people. It's, you know, that's what the Bible says, right? But the problem becomes when you've heard that message your whole life and then you get married and no one teaches you that now it's okay. Like, we know that in theory, but we don't know how to flip the switch. So having conversations about sex when we were told not to ever think about it, like not to talk about it for so long, it's a very hard sell. And so I think that going into the conversation with your spouse, honestly, like, listen, I honestly don't even know how to talk to you about this, or this is really awkward for me to say, or I feel like maybe even dirty talking about this, or just being really honest and vulnerable, I think is the right place to start. And not thinking that your spouse has any expectations of you. Like, if he has not specifically said that, sometimes we psych our own selves out and our spouse isn't even thinking that. Like, he's not thinking that we need to be some sex goddess or anything like that. Like, we've got these images in our mind that are totally, like, inaccurate. So going into it just vulnerably and honestly and saying, I don't necessarily feel comfortable about this, but I need fill in the blank. Like, what do you need? Do you need more affection? Because there's sometimes, like, husbands, like, they just want to get to it, right? And so it's like, wait a minute, I need more foreplay. What does that look like to you? Like, being really specific with your husband, because he might think that he is giving you foreplay, but in your mind, you're like, I'm not satisfied with that. And I think that sometimes as Christian women, we have a hard time thinking that it is okay for us to say, I have sexual desires that are not being fulfilled. Some women are not even sure what their sexual desires are. Like, they never think about themselves long enough to think, is this pleasurable for me? Or God forbid, they're having sex with their husbands and it's painful or it's unenjoyable. And they're just not speaking up because they either don't feel like they should, or they don't want their husbands to feel bad. And so I think that if you can't have that conversation with the person that's closest to you, then you're going to live short of what God's designed for sex is. God wants it to be enjoyable for both husband and wife, not just the husband. So if you are like, I've never had an orgasm before, I don't even know if I want to, I don't even know what that is. Like, there are some really good Christian resources, some good, clean Christian books that will help you to understand, like, even the female anatomy. Like, there's some women who don't even know, like, where all the parts are. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so we need to be aware of our bodies, because we need to be able to show our husbands, like, this is what feels good to me. This is, I don't really like that. That doesn't really make me feel comfortable. And being totally confident in saying those things, obviously saying it in a way that it's not going to wound him. But most men want to please their wives. I remember my husband told me this. He was like, you know, it doesn't do me any good if you just, like, lay there. And I'm, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm tired, okay? Like, just come on, you know? But, like, for him, he's like, I want you to enjoy this. Seeing you mm-hmm. enjoy sex makes me enjoy sex.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, I didn't know that before he said that. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I didn't know that you cared.
Yeah.
And so I think if women know, like, the pleasure that your husband gives to you gives him pleasure.
Yeah.
He wants to bring you pleasure. And so let him, tell him, this feels great, you know? Now, maybe not, like, in the moment, you know, because there are times that, like, you know, there might be people who are more vocal than others, but like find a time where you can say, you know, when you do that thing, I really like that thing. Or, you know, when you do that thing, maybe we cannot do that thing. You know, like you can probably say it in a funny way that doesn't strip him of his like self-respect and dignity, but that is also giving him the information that he needs so that you can enjoy this experience. And the other thing, Becca, is that if the husband feels like the only time his wife wants to have sex with him is when she's ovulating, like that's a killer. You know, that's not sexy for anybody.
Yeah.
So we've got to be willing to have sex on those off times. You know, we've got to be willing to say, you know what, again, going back to, I just want to have fun with you. I just want to enjoy you. I just want to spend time with you. I want to connect with you in this way. I'm not thinking about the baby right now. I'm not thinking about, you know, whether I'm going to conceive today or not. I think that this is important for our marriage. Our marriage needs this. Oh my goodness. Like what husband would not fall over if his wife said that to him?
Oh my land. Yeah. Especially in that season. Well, I mean, I know most people listening to this are going to be like, oh man, like, oh, I'm going to have to listen to this again. So many convictions there and really, really good applications. And I totally agree. I mean, I've seen that in my own marriage of my husband wants to see me be pleased. And so being like, okay, how can I help my husband be a better student? You know what I mean? And if I never talk to him about it, or if I never give him any indicators, like, how's he going to know? You know? So that's the really cool thing about being in marriage. And as we are married for longer and longer, they just get to know us so much better and we get to know them better. So it just becomes better and better. What are some of your favorite resources that you would share, like any books or anything? Obviously, your podcast is great, especially if there's, you know, infidelity or, you know, that type of strain going on. But what books in regards to sex and enjoying that would you recommend?
There's two that come to mind. Sheila Ray Gregoire. I don't know if you've ever had her on the show or not. She's fantastic. I love her. She's been on my podcast a few times. She has two books. One is called Bear Marriage. Or I'm sorry, that's the name of her podcast. One is called The Great Sex Rescue. And that's her newest book, I believe. And she really, really has a heart for having women enjoy sex in their marriages. She's a believer. Incredible woman. So I would recommend The Great Sex Rescue. She's also debunking a lot of kind of myths and faulty teachings that we've received from the church, which mm-hmm. I think is very important. And then she's got another book. I think she wrote this. It's been a while, but it's called The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. And so that would be something, again, that I would recommend from Sheila Ray Gregoire. And so those were kind of the two books that came to mind. On my podcast, I definitely talk a lot about like rebuilding trust, but we also have a whole sextimacy, intimacy series. I've actually done two. One was called All About Sex, and one was called Shameless Sex, which I think was really important because a lot of Christians are having shame-induced sex, even in marriage. So we wanted to debunk that. So if people go to the podcast, they can, they can find the links to all of that there. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We were such a gift to be speaking into this world. Like it's definitely, I mean, I have not talked about it, you know, like in my upbringing and in all the churches I've been to, it's not something we talk about. So I really appreciate your encouragement. And would you be willing to pray for us and close us out and just pray over these sweet women who are kind of going through all this?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that even as I said earlier, that you are our promise. God, forgive us for times that we have exalted things and people and desires over you. Lord, our hearts are fully devoted. We want them at least to be fully devoted to you, Lord God. Lord, we trust you. We don't always understand your timing. We don't always understand your ways. We don't understand closed doors. And when you say no, those things are really hard sometimes, God, for us to grasp. But one thing is true, Lord, and that's we love you and we trust you. So, Father, I pray for every woman who's listening to this right now, God, especially for those who are discouraged, for those, Lord, who were like me, that they believed you, but they didn't see anything. They were praying, but they didn't see any sort of indicators, Lord, that you were at work. I pray, oh God, that you would revive their spirits and renew their hope. Lord, that they would trust you, Lord, that they would believe that you are good. And your word says, God, that you are a good father who delights in giving good gifts to your children. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that in your perfect timing and in your perfect way, that you would make all things work together for their good, Lord, because they love you and they are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, girl, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts? Literally just pause this, scroll on down, click write a review, and I promise it'll take 2 seconds, well, maybe like 25 seconds, and it would bless me so much to see what you thought about this episode and to hear your feedback. And also, if you could share this in a quick text message to the friend or family member that you were thinking of while listening to this episode, that would be awesome. It just lights me up to know that this podcast is helping you and other people. And girl, I pray that your progesterone is awesome. I'll meet you back next Thursday for another episode. Have a blessed day.